This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. It's not often that a local school board captures national attention, but the Wake County Board is making headlines again. This time it's about the high-stakes runoff election for the board's remaining undecided race. Groups and individuals have dumped tens of thousands of dollars into the election that could tip the balance of political power and change once again the school system's assignment policy. Since last we checked in on the board's doings, about a month ago, four of the five incumbent members were ousted. The lame duck board then went on to adopt a new assignment plan for the county's 146,000 students. Here to bring us up to speed just in time for Tuesday's runoff election is WUNC reporter Dave DeWitt. Dave, welcome back.
Hi, Frank.
Five seats. We should really go back over some of the history. Five seats were up for grabs in October. Democrats claimed four of them. So remind us, who's in, who's out?
Well, who's in? Or you mentioned four Democrats, and one of them, Keith Sutton, is an incumbent, and then the other three are new members and replacing. Some are replacing Democrats that were, but then the key race was Ron Margiotta, who was the school board chair and still is until he gets replaced in December. Lost his race to Susan Evans, and that happened in the Southwest Wake District. That was the one that surprised people. I just happened to be at his party that night when he was results were coming in. And the night, as you would expect, sort of began with a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of optimism. Most people, I think, who watched the Wake School Board races believed he would win, but it would be close because a lot of money was spent, especially by Susan Evans and by folks on her behalf. But as the first results started coming in, you saw that Margiotta was behind and he never was able to make up that ground. You saw a dramatic shift in emotion that night from optimism, enthusiasm to a short period I would call disbelief, and then a quick turnaround to somewhat, not I wouldn't call it anger, but a lot of, this is a real issue now for the Republicans. And then once it became clear that there was going to be a runoff election for that fifth seat, almost immediately everybody had turned their attention to that.
And let's talk about that seat, the one that was too close to call in October.
Heather Lacerdo is the Republican who got the most votes. There were a couple of other folks running as well. And that, because there were more than two, and Kevin Hill is the Democrat, and there were other folks running too, and because of that, Kevin Hill ended up being just about 50 votes short of getting 50% of the vote. And if you don't get 50%, the person in second place gets to ask for a runoff, which is what Republican Heather Lacerdo has done. So it now sort of all boils down to this. You've got four Republicans and four Democrats ready to take their seats in December, and then you've got this runoff race in District 3, which is North Raleigh and all the way up to sort of the Wake County line, includes Wakefield housing subdivision, all the way up sort of through there. And it's very suburban. There's some very affluent areas. There's some middle class areas, mostly entirely suburban.
And these are the areas that are most affected by or that we've heard most from in this debate about reassignment.
Right. And you've heard a lot from Northern Wake. You've heard a lot, obviously, from sort of the Cary and Western Wake areas, too. But this is an area where all of the elements of the last couple of years of moving students around for diversity purposes, year-round schools debate, the old Wacky Wednesdays debate, a lot of these issues have been played out in Northern Wake, a lot of disgruntlement. But Kevin Hill has been there. He's an incumbent. He has a lot of support from different folks up there, obviously from the Democratic Party. But Heather Lacerdo, who's a relative newcomer both to politics and to the area, has got a lot of strong support in the area for those reasons.
Well, she does, and her political opponents are painting Heather Lacerdo as a Tea Party candidate, one that liberal groups have levied some accusations at her about her resume. Progress NC, Progress North Carolina recently put out some information regarding her employment as a waitress in New Orleans strip club and a bankruptcy she filed 20 years ago. So this is a lot of stuff to bring to bear on what is, in fact, a school board race.
Right. It's a school board race. And these are the kinds of things that just, as a lot of people will remember, school board races where, retired educators or parents who have been very involved and even coming up sort of through the PTA establishment have decided they want to be a little more involved, make some decisions. They get elected to school board. Maybe they raised $5,000-$10,000, threw up some yard signs, sent out a couple flyers, got their friends to vote, and they were elected. But that changed in 2009 when it became much more partisan, when a lot of these issues with the student assignment policy came up. Republicans were very organized, and their associated groups were very organized, spent a lot of money, and won the seats. Now Democrats are essentially fighting back. They've reorganized. They've gotten a lot more money. They've gotten a lot more things together this time. And the attack ads have really been the kinds of things you see at the, you know, congressional level. And it's really something to watch. And, you know, I asked Heather Lacerda the other day, I asked her specifically, if you had a chance to do this over and knowing this would all come up. And, you know, she wavered for quite a bit. And she said, well, I think I would have because I'm, you know, dedicated to things I believe. But, you know, you got to believe that you don't think about that. Even in this sort of jaded era, you don't think about, gosh, all of these things are going to become public if I decided to run for the Wake County School Board.
And the question is not whether or not these things are relevant. It's just how much money it costs to find this stuff out. You don't bother to spend that money in a school board race. They are in this case.
Now, clearly, you know, there are some outside groups very interested in finding out as much as possible about the candidates and using whatever information they find.
Now, we talk about the money. $500,000 has been spent in this race. Who's spending the money?
Well, that's just the money that the candidates themselves have raised. On both sides in all the districts, that's how much money the candidates have raised. Now, outside groups have spent, who knows, because they don't have to file how much money they spend, but they've spent hundreds of thousands of dollars doing what you just described, going out and finding information out about candidates, putting out flyers, robocalls, TV ads. You know, these are the kinds of things that they're spending money on, and those are the kinds of things that have gotten a little nasty and a little personal. You know, Kevin Hill on the Democratic side has stayed largely above the fray, hasn't even acknowledged that there is another candidate in the race, largely because he's a front runner, but largely because he's got the Democratic leaning groups spending a lot of money on his behalf to do that, and he can sort of stand back. Heather Lacerda has been much more specific about Kevin Hill, his policies, she's used terms like forced busing, and, you know, we hear so many of those kinds of terms, forced busing and resegregation and neighborhood schools, a lot of these terms that have all kinds of loaded meanings, but to some people mean a lot and some people don't mean anything. So, you know, it's a really mixed up situation. But the difference is these groups, these outside groups that don't have to tell you how much they're spending and can say whatever they feel like.
Outside groups and insiders. Businessman Art Pope, of course, gained some notoriety for the amount of money he spent on the initial race that tipped the board in favor of Republicans and got the new plan. But the Democrats have responded.
They have. And, you know, the way it was described to me is by a lot of people who are, you know, political science researchers and people who are watchers and analysts say, you know, the 2009, this was sort of a laboratory, this Wake School Board, for the Art Pope and other folks who spent the money and sort of tried these things out and it worked. And they went on to do it in the congressional delegation and statewide in the legislature races. And they were able to get some really good results for themselves there. And now the Democrats have come back. And Deeb Debnam is sort of one of the folks on the Democratic side. There's not sort of a one person operation on the Democratic side. There are several others. Dean Nebnam is a guy who's a businessman in Raleigh who also is runs public policy polling. So it's a there are a lot of folks who have money and are spending it in this way that didn't used to. And the Democrats are sort of playing catch up, but they've learned very quickly how this works.
All of this about the student assignment plan that had been controversial and in effect, although it had brought a good attention to Wake County schools for a long time in the effect that it was having on the economy and on the school system. But there were some complaints. Now there's a new plan in place. Tell us about that plan.
The new plan has sort of four, you know, pillars, they call it. And the key ones are proximity on one end. And that a lot of folks think that's the one that should be, the other three pillars are minor, and that's the one that should be major. And then there's a student achievement sort of on the other end. And a lot of folks think student achievement should have more play in what goes on. Now, what's interesting about the student assignment plan, and many people have told me this who've really delved into the plan, and it's complicated and it's hard to know because people are going to make choices and you don't know what choices they're going to make. The genius of the plan is that Michael Alves, who's essentially the architect of it, although it's been through a lot of variations as a consultant, he put in place right from the beginning that if you like your school, you can stay in your school. They essentially grandfathered in. Well, we know from surveys that about 95% of people in Wake County like their school. They're unlikely to move. And, you know, anybody who's had kids in the elementary school especially, it takes a lot for you to pull your kid out of elementary school and put him somewhere else or her somewhere else. So that you're going to see not much choice difference. People are going to stay in the school they are for the most part. Now, there are changes with magnets and all that. Where the entry point, though, you're going to see a lot of variation in kindergarten and then again in middle school, but kindergarten especially. But the interesting thing to me is, what are we going to see 3-4 years out? Wake County is growing, not at the rate it used to, but it's growing. People are going to start moving in. they're going to move their kids in fourth grade or second grade, and they're going to choose a plan. How many options are still going to be open to them, and what pillar is going to be used to move those kids around? So I think you're not going to see a dramatic change in schools over the next couple of years, but as time goes on, how this plan is developed and how many choices people make will make a big play.
Has this changed politics in Wake County for good? The fact that people have become so organized, Democrats and Republicans have really organized and gotten together over this. Are we going to see a difference in the way politics happens in Wake County?
It's never a bad idea to talk about the major issues, about how we assign students and those kinds of things. The problem is those conversations aren't actually happening. What's happening is all of these protests and arrests and people calling each other names. You know, and this isn't new to national politics, but it is relatively new at this level. And these are people who aren't seasoned political operatives for the most part who get into this. So I don't think it's been good. And because we aren't getting to talk about the issues that people can sit down and go across the table and actually talk about. What we're talking about is, you know, where did this woman work 20 years ago and did she have a personal bankruptcy? Whether those things are germane or not, it's not part of the conversation that should be talking about how student assignment should be made.
We'll find out how it all shakes out Tuesday. Dave, thanks so much for talking with us.
My pleasure.
Dave DeWitt is a reporter here at WUNC. Just ahead, how jazz moved north after the Great Flood. You'll hear it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, the broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay with us.